So we have been reading through Matthew, and we're going through this series. We're talking about the internal and the external. And I know on here the verse says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I think this is probably for a lot of us our favorite passage in the Bible, because whenever we talk about being weary, we feel like that's me. I'm weary. I need rest for my soul. Unfortunately, this is not the passage that I'm going to focus on today. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Let's take a look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. And we're going to start off with this story about John the Baptist, and I'll read for us. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, and he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now you have to imagine this. John was born into royalty. His father was a priest. Right? His father was a priest in the temple. And John had some status in this community. But he gave it all up. He gave it all up. He goes and he lives in the wilderness wearing really weird, odd clothes, right? And he feeds off of honey and locusts, I believe. And there's a lot of different spiritual interpretations for this, but any way you look at it, it is a very unique lifestyle in any situation, in any time, in any culture, in any generation, in any dispensation. This is a very unique thing that John has done, and the Lord called him to it, and he did it, and then he was imprisoned for it. Okay, so he questions within himself. He has done, I've done all of this. And look, Jesus, you're out there doing all these things. Are you going to save me? What's up with this, you know? Are you the one who is coming, or am I waiting for someone else for another type of salvation here? Is there someone else? And so I think it's a natural thought to have. Jesus answered. He sends his disciples, and I'm not sure how jail communication worked at that time. I don't think they went up to the window and picked up the phone and said, hey, let me go out there, you know. I don't think it was like that. I'm not sure how it worked, but he had disciples, and they were able to get in contact with them. So he sends his disciples, and he says, go ask him. And so Jesus says, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to him. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is the person who, when he looked at me, didn't say, he's not much to look at. Is that, could he really be the Savior? Blessed is that person who believed because of the things they saw. And so that's John. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. And now there's always this crowd gathered around Jesus. He says to them, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who was least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We're going to stop reading there for today. The kingdom of heaven is a place for violent people. What do you think that means? I'm going to pick on someone. I'm going to pick on Josh because he grew up in church. What do you think that means? The kingdom of heaven is a place for, it is violent. Suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Christine's giving us looks like no. then maybe that's not for me, or maybe it's the perfect thing for this generation with all our gun violence, right? It's perfect. We are the bride of Him. We belong in the kingdom of heaven. I want to bring back to mind that what we're talking about is an internal versus an external. It is what is internally. How many of us, I don't know if you've ever done this, how many of us, I'm hoping none of you raise your hand, how many of us went to an opening night somewhere and got up, like in the wee hours of the morning, or like stayed in line for something because you wanted to be there for the opening the next day? For me, that's pretty violent. It is a strong act. You know what I mean? You're giving up something, right? I used to get up at like 4 a.m. to go skiing, because it's a thing. Because you have to drive there and you want to be there the minute it opens because you paid this much money for it, right? We have friends that drive down as much as they can. Like, they go to Disneyland once a month. They drive down from here. And they make it there, like, they drive through the night, they make it there, like, right when it opens at 8, which is only Main Street, and then they eat breakfast on Main Street, and then you're allowed to do the rest of the park. I feel like this is violent. It is a strong act. And this is what Jesus is talking about. And I think today, and I hope all of you hear this well, today what we see is we will do a lot. We will do a lot even for Jesus. But what is our passion for really Jesus? Or is it for the doing of the things? Is it an external violence or is it an internal violence? And what Jesus is talking about here is there is a lot. There is one way to the Lord, and that is through the cross. Okay? And that is through the cross. The cross is not applied to your external self, right? It is applied to your internal self. And it takes violence for us to get into the kingdom of God. Yet the least in the kingdom of God, they're going to be greater than what John has done externally, the sacrifices he has made externally. When I was living in Asia, there was one day, there was some brilliant young man took a full-page ad out, okay? And it was hilarious. He wrote this letter to his girlfriend or his fiance, I don't know. So, and the letter said something like, you know what, for you, and I started reading this, it was a really long letter, and I started reading this, and it was a little difficult, it was in Chinese and everything, and I kind of felt like, oh, he's going to propose to her. This is so sweet. He takes a full page out, add up, you know, in the newspaper. And it says, for you, I crossed the deserts on a kayak. I cross the oceans on a kayak. I would, like, cross the deserts, you know, by foot. I would go to the moon and back. And it had all these things that he would do for. I am going to, like, apply myself. I'm going to make money. I'm going to support our family, this, and that. It was a whole page of this. At the end, it says, and if it weren't raining today, I'd pick you up from work. It's really in the small things that Jesus is going to really test us. There's small things every single day that we come across that Jesus is going to test us. And, you know, and there's things, sometimes it is pride. This weekend, and this is a really nice young man. I saw him when he was born. He's a lawyer now. He's one of our prosecutors in San Jose. And he asked me, he said, well, is it wrong to want to achieve higher things, worldly status? I was like, absolutely, it's not wrong. And as Christians, you know what, we should do all we can to the best of our ability. That's what the Bible asks of us, right? Whatever you put your hand to, do it verily as unto the Lord. But I said, you know, but I told him there's a danger in this. And this is where the violence comes in. What is your reasoning for doing these things? Because if you are doing these things to find some sort of self-satisfaction in it, you will be disappointed very soon. You will very, very soon find that, you know what, I need more. And in order for you to cut that off and say, I'm going to do this for the glory of the Lord, or I'm going to do this because I want to know the Lord more, then it's going to be a different story. It's not about the success. The Lord gives us jobs that we have on hand, the external. And what is the purpose of that? It is to achieve an internal relationship with Him. There's a lot that we can learn. I think seminaries are full of people who know a lot of things about God. Right? there are people out there who have spied themselves wrong. They have a lot of knowledge in their heads. But can they violently take all that, turn it, and say, you know what, my passion is to know Jesus more. My passion is to love him more. Is that making more sense to you guys? It is a violent entry. It takes violence upon yourself. And there's so many areas where this goes through. I'm going to propose a few of them. One is, what do we input into ourselves? And this is really hard, because these days, you know, it's a clock, but, you know, this is what we input all the time, right? For some reason, my flashlight is, like, always on. For some reason these days, whenever we look at technology, and people have it, it's right there. It's the world at your hands. And I recently saw a video called Digital Cocaine. And it really is what it is. It keeps feeding you. And I think I think I started out ADHD. And it's made me like 100 times more ADHD. You need to Google everything right away. Right? You need to take a note right away. Whereas before, like, I just remember things. Or at least I tried, you know. Or I kind of thought, okay, that might not be important. I might not need to know that right away. But now I need to know things right away. What do we input? What do we surround ourselves with? Right? What do we surround it? Well, what do we put in? What is that that's drawing into us all the time through our eyes, into our mind, seeping into our heart? What is the knowledge that we achieve? Is it for something that can really bring us into a deeper relationship with God? The other thing is going to be, how do we react to the things around us? And this is where I think the litmus test for me. There's like 100 times a day I feel like, did they just look at me funny? I'm taking offense. They just looked at me funny. You know? Or did they just say something to me? Did that mean something else? Right? And it's easy for us to be offended because we are all about us. And actually last night I was talking to the principal in school, and I said, I didn't recognize, I just randomly met him. I was like, I didn't recognize you without a suit. And right away he's like, well, do I look bad? I was like, oh, stop it. Everyone, I'm just thinking about myself just like you are. We're all thinking about ourselves. It's so easy to be offended when someone says something or a situation is in our way. This is where the violence comes in. How do you turn that situation so that it is something that helps you grow towards the Lord, in relationship with the Lord? How do we bring this and to say, Jesus, how do I humble myself? How do I learn from you? And this is where the yoke really comes in. Because you know what? Jesus' yoke is easy, but it can be really not easy. The cross is never easy. And that's what Jesus bore. And we are applying it here to who we are. Who we are and our daily reactions, our daily choices of what we look at, what we talk about, what we see, what our discussions are. And then when we go to other people, last Sunday at lunch, we had a great discussion, and I want to show you this. So Peter drew these little cards, and he has some others. And the idea is, you know, put your name, your number, and like a little Bible verse or something on the back, and you can hand it to someone, right? And it's really difficult because when you're at work, how many non-Christians do you encounter? How many do you make an impact on? Who was the last non-Christian that you brought in, right, to the house of God, where they said, wow, that person, I don't know, we had dinner with a young man, like I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and he was asking Jason, he was like, so Brother Jason, what do I do to preach the gospel at work? And Jason was like, well, and our answer is always, you should be the best at what you are at, so people at least will respect you, right? And he said, oh no, they're not going to respect me. I'm always asking other people for help. I don't know anything. And he works at Facebook. He's just like, yeah, I don't know anything. I can't really speak the language. I don't know anything. And I'm probably like, I was the bottom of my class. I just praise God I was hired. Now I'm struggling for air here, right? And it's like, okay, that's fine too. But then you have to have character. You have to have that strength of character, and you have to be the person who is gonna be sincere and caring. And you can't make this up. We all know when people are faking it, right? We all know. And you have to be the person who's gonna say, hey, you okay today? And that's always, you know, is everything going all right? and people will trust you. But it's about what you have internally then, and not what you've done externally. And this is where we're coming to, where Jesus is saying, look, you guys are looking at John and you're saying, wow, look at what he's done. He's given up all this. He's traveled to the ends of the earth. Well, not really, but he went out, he lived all in solitary confinement, really. Look at what he's eating. Look at what he's wearing. He's not living a cush life. He's made these choices. You know, in today's terms, you know, you've gone to whatever, you know, the ends of the earth. I don't even know where that is. You preach the gospel to the penguins in Antarctica. Is that where penguins are? Are they North Pole or South Pole? South Pole, right? The Antarctica? Yeah. Okay. But Jesus is saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Is that relationship there? Is it seen in the what you spend your time on? Is it seen in, do you spend time with me? I think for Jason and I, we have to have time that is dedicated to each other. Probably on a daily basis. We have to have time where we can sit down and talk. I could say, it's 24/7, I'm married to him. We have a great relationship. It's not really quite going to cut it if I spend all my time doing other things, right? And in the back of my mind, yes, I'm always loving Jason. I'm always in love with Jason. I'm always about his business. I'm helping to raise his kids, right? I'm doing things that would benefit. No, how much time do we spend with Jesus? And I think this is actually a crucial issue for me, because it's so hard, especially in this day and age. I really don't care about money, I care about time. Time is my thing, you know? I'm a time miser. And so how much time can we really sit down and say, I'm gonna read the Word. I'm gonna be immersed in the Word of God. I'm gonna wait, whether He speaks or not, I'm gonna be here for Him. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I know there's a beehive outside. I think if we just leave it alone to do its thing. Anybody seen the bee movie? It was really weird. So, this is where Jesus is going with this, and he says, he follows this one, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, everyone, spirit and truth, the prophets, the law, they all were speaking of Jesus. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? He who has ears, let him hear. Who is it that has ears? Is he talking about physical ears? This is how we know. Jesus is talking about something that is internal to us, all right? He is not talking about he who has physical ears, but he who has the heart to listen. Let him hear what I'm saying. But what shall I liken this generation? I think it's similar to this generation. It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, you did not dance. We mourned for you, to you, and you did not lament. John came. He didn't eat or drink, and they say he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. What is this generation? What are we like as a people when we don't respond? We just don't respond. You know, I do this all the time. I sit in church, I sit in class, I sit in different things. And I said, wow, that was really insightful. And then I leave. We don't respond. Because there's no internal capacity to drive that which is external, right? And then I go about and I do what I think is right. I do it my own way, which is the way I like to do it. But it's usually not the good way or God's way. And people came and he said, we played a flute, we played something, we played music for you to dance. And he said, that's great. But you didn't dance. We mourned. So you're not happy. Well, how about some sad music? And he said, it's sad music. In James, it talks about people as people who like to have their ears tickled. You know, we like to have the Q-tip in there a little bit, and we consider that cleaning. We go to this church and that church, and we want to hear the most recent thing. We want to do the most recent thing. But that is not taking the kingdom of heaven by violence. It is a very, it's slacktivism. It's slacktivism at its best. We want to hear that which pleases us, and then even then we don't respond. And I'm hoping you really hear this well, because I'm really talking about myself. You know, I do this all the time. All the time. I know there's something I should do. Yeah. Right? There's a kid in one of my classes, and I told him, I said, look, if you just spend like half an hour more to actually read this stuff, you're gonna get an A. You're gonna get an A in my class. And he looked at me and said, no, thank you. I'm good. And I think that's okay, but is that the attitude we want to have for the kingdom of God? Is that the attitude we want to have on Jesus, who loves us and gave his life for us? He comes calling, he's knocking on our door. And we're like, yeah, I'm good. But those were good words, Jesus, thank you. Right? And we close the door and move on. And the next day, he comes calling again. And the grace is day 5062. Jesus is still knocking on our doors. And he's still saying, look, come to me. And this is where the passage that everyone likes is, come to me. Because, you know, you're going to be weary from two things. In this passage, actually, the disciples are weary because they've been doing the work of the Lord, right? We are also weary from all our earthly pursuits that must come about and that we must go about. It is wearying. It is wearing even if you are unemployed and you have to get up every morning, right? It is, life is wearying, but Jesus is saying, look, come to me. And you know what the best way to do this is? Just lay it down. Lay it down. And that's what his, think of what did Jesus bear? It was the cross. Come to me, my yoke, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look, if you've laid it down, there is no burden. There is no burden. There is nothing for you to have to continue to carry. And that's the challenge that, as we come into the Lord's Supper this morning, that is really the challenge for us. How do we fall in love with the intangible, the eternal, and align our lives to that? And Jesus has an answer, and it is to be violent, to die to who you are, to apply that violence to entering the kingdom of heaven, to apply that passion that we have, to learn things, to do things, to succeed, to, I have a nephew, every single year he goes to the Black Friday sale at Fry's, and he gets a sleeping bag and waits out there, you know, from 9 p.m. the previous night, and you know, sometimes he comes home with a phone, right? There was a good deal on it, right? And so apply that same kind of passion and violence. Apply it to heavenly things. Apply it to knowing Jesus and loving him. And you will find that his yoke is easy. His burden is light. You will find that joy that you've been, everything that you've been wanting, it is in the Lord. He is not saying at all, look, I don't want you to pursue anything. But why are you doing it? Apply that. And this is where we come to our breaking of bread. Now, we take communion here, and we do it every week. It is important that we do it every week for us, because I don't know about you, oftentimes I forget. I forget what the Lord has done. For me, it's all about the cracking of the bread. And I think Jason has shared something similar. When I hear it, I'm reminded, not only does someone love me, someone gave their life for me. Someone gave, and it wasn't just someone. It wasn't the creature, it was the Creator. And he gave his life for the things that he created. And I'm not worthy. There's nothing that I have in me that he would say, wow, you did a good job. You know, I'm going to pay a price for that. Not at all. And this is why week after week after week, it's important for me that I'm brought back to this memory, and I give thanks. And so, and I would encourage you as well to give that thanks to the Lord. I'm going to ask Peter to come back up here.